Well, as I mentioned a little bit ago, we have already been to Mexico. My wife has dual citizenship. She was born in Monterrey. That dual citizenship has been transferred or passed down to my children. So all of my family have dual citizenship, Mexican passports. I have permanent residency status in Mexico as well. A little over 5 years ago, God brought us out for a time of, I guess you could say, a time to refresh and regroup. And we took a church in Nevada where we were, as I said, for a few years. But the Lord didn't let us get comfortable. You see, folks, we love Mexico. Amen. We enjoyed our time here in the States. It was helpful to our family to come out for a little while. But we've also learned that this is not where God wants us to be. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16 that there was a man who appeared to Paul in a dream saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And folks, the cry of help us is still being cried out and lifted up today. And Mexico is a land, it's an exotic land, vibrant land and culture that needs the gospel. They are being torn by Roman Catholicism. They're being torn by drugs and the cartel gang wars. And so we have heard the call, and we would like to answer that call. We are trying to get back to Mexico as soon as possible, and we'd like to ask for your prayers for our family. We speak the language. We are familiar with the culture. We have a mini tactical team here to get out and spread the word and start a church and win souls to the Lord for Christ, teach them and train them and plant independent, fundamental, New Testament Baptist churches that will become autonomous, indigenous, self-sustaining churches, such as the one that is there today, Victory Baptist Church, Iglesia Bautista Victoria en Cristo, in the city of Querétaro. We're praying about where to go back to. There are several places I have a burden for. One of those towns is León, Guanajuato, which is a couple hours to the northwest of Querétaro. And it is a town of over 2.5 million people. And then, of course, Querétaro, where we were before, is a place that we love. And there's need for more churches there as well. But we're here tonight to ask if you would pray for Mexico. Pray for the Miller family, and we'd like to partner with your church, and we give you our personal word and guarantee that we're going to go down there and try to make a difference. We're all in, folks. There's no reserves. We're excited to go back. It's going to be a challenge. This year has already been a turmoil. But the Lord knew that before he called us to go back, and it's been exciting to see God provide in some miraculous ways. It's the kind that you get excited and you point to your kids and say, kids, did you see that? Did you see what God just did? Isn't he so good? And in the meantime, we'll be praying for you and the work that you're carrying on forward here in Texas and the Fort Worth metropolitan area. At this time, we'd like to take a few minutes and show you our video presentation that shows you a little bit about what we've been able to do, shows you a little bit about the need. If you have any questions afterwards, please feel free to ask us that, get a prayer card, and that would be a blessing. Thank you. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. I hope you enjoyed that. I don't know about you, but my favorite part is seeing those baptisms. That's a portion of fulfillment of the Great Commission. Of course, while we were there, we were able to start several ministries in the church there. Iglesia Bautista Victoria en Cristo. One of those was an institute that we were able to teach and train some of the families there in the church. Brother Victor was a man who was my right-hand man, a deacon and assistant there, and he is now the pastor of that church, carrying the work forward. Brother Bruce has been there. In fact, he's been there a couple of times since we've left. And I'm proud to say tonight that they're still serving the Lord, and God is using them. Again, we would like to go back and we're here tonight to ask you to pray for us. We'd love to partner with your missionary vision, and that would be a great honor as the Lord leads. And again, I want to thank Pastor Turner for his graciousness and hospitality in letting us come. I want to thank the Sims for their hospitality. Had a great meal this afternoon, some wonderful fellowship, and thank you so much. And if I could just speak to you for a few minutes from my heart. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 71, verse 19. This is a sermon that is brand spanking new. It's shiny. I wouldn't say it's polished, but it is something that the Lord laid on my heart. While you're looking there, I'd just like to mention very quickly this book that we have a book back there on our table that was written by Mrs. Billy Sloan, who formerly was Billie Jean Ashcraft, the daughter of Dr. L.H. Ashcraft and Eva, who went to Monterrey, Mexico back in the 60s and started a work that is still going today. They have been able to train and send out dozens and dozens of national pastors throughout the country of Mexico. Mrs. Billie Sloan, their daughter, married a medical missionary, Tom Sloan, and they went to southern Mexico, to Chiapas, for many, many years. And they had eight children. and raise those children for the glory of the Lord, and they all have a good testimony today. And after the passing of my father-in-law, my mother-in-law wrote a book called Tom and Me, The Story of the Life of Tom Sloan, MD, and What I Learned from Him. This is a biography about my father-in-law and their time as missionaries in Mexico and parenting their family and some lessons there and some interesting stories. It's a good read, and we have those available for a donation. On the back, if you're interested in picking up a book about missionary life in Mexico, I believe this could be a blessing to you. We generally ask for $10 if that's possible, but if not, just let us know. We want to make that available to you. And of course, Pastor, I want to gift one of these to you, sir, if you haven't already seen it or read it, but wanted to mention that. Now tonight, as I mentioned, I'm going to go ahead and avail myself of this delicious looking water, and I hope not to splash it around so much as I've heard Brother Hudson has been known to do. But if I were to do that, then I know that at least I'm in good company and following the example of a godly man. The theme that I want to share that's on my heart, and I've never preached this message before, is called Again. Simply, Again. Psalm chapter 71, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to have us turn to a few passages here, just in Psalms, where you will see this key word that we're going to focus in on tonight. Psalm chapter 71, verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. What a blessed proclamation by the psalmist as he says, no matter how bad it gets, Lord, I know just as you have held my hand and taken care of me through those previous trials, I have faith, I trust, and I know that you will carry me forward again. The Bible says, it's just a couple pages over, in Psalm chapter 80, verse number 3. Three times in this chapter, we see this thought in Psalm chapter 80, verse number 3. Turn us again, O God. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Sounds like what America needs to be crying out. Amen. The Bible says in verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Folks, that's what we ought to be crying out to the Lord in America. Turn us again, O God. I thank God that the times that I've turned. Have you ever turned? You know what I'm talking about. As we walk through life, the path that God has established for us, it's easy sometimes to just get a little bit off kilter, a little bit off track. We take our eyes off the Lord for a moment. We don't heed that still small voice. Thank God, no matter how often, He's always willing and He's always there to turn us back again. Chapter 85, verse 6. Psalm chapter 85, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Revive us again. Revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. We need revival again. Yes, let us pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, I thank you so much for this awesome privilege to stand up here on this platform behind this pulpit where so many godly and great men have stood to preach and proclaim your truth. And Lord, tonight I count this as a huge responsibility. I ask, Father, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the words that you want transmitted to your people tonight. Lord, take away any distractions, Father. May your presence be in our midst. God, may you be glorified and honored by what's said, and may your people be challenged and stirred and exhorted and encouraged, the Heavenly Father. And as you have done so many times in this building, once again as our theme, we ask you to do it. Do it again, Lord, as we humble ourselves and we submit ourselves to your holy will. In Jesus' name, amen. When we left Mexico, that after almost 15 years, we had been through a lot. There had been some incidences, if that's the right word. There had been some episodes, threats against our family, things that happened to cause us a little bit of trepidation. Finances were tough. Being a missionary, as a missionary, finances are always tough. And we had been there, we had started the church, it had grown, we knew that it was in a position to hand it over and move on to the next ministry where God would have us to go. We prayed. I truly thought we would stay in Mexico. The Lord had other plans. The Lord knew what was best. We prayed, and God, through a series of events, a series of fortuitous events, I guess is what I want to say. The Lord made it clear that that church in Nevada was where he wanted us to go next. So we sold most of our stuff. We packed up the rest, the little bit that we had, in a few box trailers and a van or two. And we proceeded to leave and head north to the border and eventually land in Nevada. When we left, ladies and gentlemen, I truly thought that our time in Mexico was over. I was okay with that. I was at peace with that. I was sad because we love Mexico. But when you know you're in God's will and you're following his guidance, you can take steps that, even though they cause emotions, you are firm, you're solid in the direction that you're headed. And so we came out and we began our ministry in Nevada, and I was there with the mentality that we were there now to stay till the end, till death do us part, or till the Lord returned, just as our mentality was in Mexico. Well, as the few years went by, there was that nagging sensation in our hearts that this isn't going to be our final destination. We missed Mexico. We missed Mexico. But it took a few years before the Lord began to squeeze a little tighter, a little tighter, our hearts about returning. May I say that one of the first words out of my spiritual mouth to the Lord, when he began to impress us about going to Mexico, was this word: Lord, again? Again? Of course, it took a little while. I won't deny that I resisted a little bit. What are people going to think? Lord, you do know that to be a missionary is going to require multiple years, perhaps, of deputation. I've got a family of 10. We don't even fit into one hotel room anymore. We're going to have to ask churches to put us up and find accommodations for a family of 10. We can't even eat at McDonald's for less than $50. Again? But as the months, the weeks and the months ticked by for almost a year, the Lord squeezed tighter and tighter. The burden became greater. The calling, the renewed calling, became fresher. until that day when me and Ruthie looked at each other and said, this is it. Let's do it again. Let's go for it. People are dying in Mexico. They need the gospel. We have adequate skills by God's grace, the tools to go and do it again. I'm scared to death. Oh, trust me, we had no idea about COVID, right? So we took the steps, we surrendered, we resigned to the church in Nevada, turned it over there, and they're doing well. But we moved down here to Texas to the church in Decatur, Emmanuel Baptist Church, Pastor Lewis Horton, church where we got married. They've graciously accepted us into their fellowship membership as a sent out missionary, fully sponsored and backed with their support to go out on deputation and raise funds to get back to Mexico. But here's the point. God, in His grace, He's been so good again and again. You know that life really is just a series of repetitions? 24-hour days, day after day. You go to bed at night, and you get up in the morning, and you go throughout your day, and you go back to the nighttime routine, and you do it again. Wash and rinse and repeat. Amen? Life is a series of series of series. It's a repetition of repetitions, repeated again and again and again. The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. 672 times in the King James Bible, the word again is found. I don't know about you, but so many times I've had to say, Lord, it's me again. Do you know what I'm talking about? Here I am, Lord. And I want to say tonight, thank the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. He has never failed me. Never, ever. Again and again and again. You know, the old time sports casters in baseball or football. Some player will do some great comeback, something great on the field, and he's a pro, and he's a star, and he's everybody's favorite. Why? Because he does things that nobody else can do. And you've ever heard the sportscaster say, here's the pitch, and it's 3-2-3, and the bases are loaded. It's the end of the game. You know, they're down by just a few points, and all of a sudden, here comes the pitch, and that slugger hits it and knocks it way out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going. It's going. It's God. It's a home run. It's a grand slam. Folks, we can't believe it, but he did it again. Another. You know what I'm talking about? I just want to get up tonight like that old-timey broadcaster and say about my God who does what nobody else can do. Hallelujah. He done it again and again and again. It's good to be a child of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. My compassions sometimes fail. But His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. His mercies, His compassions are new every morning, day after day after day after day. And the Bible ends with that. The verse ends with this phrase, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Amen. I'm so thankful that no matter how many times I've dropped the ball, He has never failed me. He's always been there to forgive. He's always been there to show me mercy. He's always been there to give me grace. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a wonderful God tonight. We serve a wonderful God tonight. Every time I've had a problem, I've lifted up my voice, I've cried out to him. He has heard my prayer again and again, and he's answered my prayer. Amen. He has fulfilled his word every time, again and again. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he showed himself strong. He's proved his word. He's fulfilled his promises. He's been so good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need him tonight, he is there for you. And he always will be tomorrow and the next time. Oh, he's been so good. He's been so good. He's put up with me. Amen. And I just think about the times in the Bible, you know, where that, for example, the widow of Zarephath, when she was at her wit's end, at death's door, didn't have anything in the cupboard, just a little cruse of oil and a little barrel of flour. You know the story, how God sent the prophet, and the prophet, and she made a cake for the prophet. The last one, she stepped out on faith for the man of God, a Gentile woman. And somehow the next day she went to her cupboard, amen, to that cruise. Folks, we are there. The Miller family is living that. I can't explain it, but we've had some abundantly refilled pantries and cupboards. I can't even explain it. She pulled that out and look, and again, can you just, again, he did it again. And the next day, again, and again, and again. Oh, his compassions, they don't fail. I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing with your agains? What are we doing with our agains? You know he hasn't given you what you deserve. Right. He hasn't. Yes. He hasn't. And he's picked us up, dusted us off, gave us a big hug, and said, "It's okay. Go forward and sin no more." You know, sometimes we have to tell our forgetful, stubborn children the same thing twice or thrice. You know what I mean? We've got 8. Sims have 9. And often I have had to repeat myself to my children. I tell them to do something, and you know, they're playing, they're zoomed in on whatever adventure they're having at that moment, and it goes in one ear and out the other. They forget, they didn't, whatever, not paying attention, and it doesn't get done. It doesn't get done right. And you know, we have to tell our children again and again. Now, of course, as dads, most of the time we're like, son, because it's mostly the sons. Oh, but it's the girls too. I don't want to have to tell you again. If I have to tell you again, it's not going to be good. So get it right. We don't like have to tell our children the same thing again and again. But you want to know something, ladies and gentlemen? That's how we are as Christians a lot, which is exactly why we need church. We need church a lot so that we can get it again and hear it again. Hear what we need to do. Hear what we're doing wrong so we can get it right and fix it again and again and again. You say, "Well, I already went to church last Sunday." Hey, well, good for you. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. But do it again. Amen. I already been to church twice this week. Well, amen, but you got to do it again. It'll never be enough. You're going to need church as much as possible all the time till the day you die. Why? Because we're stubborn, we're foolish, we're thick-headed, we're carnal, we're forgetful, and we need to be told, we need to be preached to, we need to be taught again and again. Amen. We need to read our Bibles often. We need the Word of God to saturate our minds, get into our hearts. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We need the Word of God. We need to memorize so we can recall Scripture again and again. We need to pray often. We need to pray frequently. We need to pray multiple times throughout the day. And frankly, we need to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. Yes, again and again. Folks, and I'll just throw this out there. When the altar call is given, the invitation is given, go down to the altar and confess something. Get it right. Well, you say, I already did that last week. Yeah, I have to go to the altar every time I get a chance. And let me just tell you this. He'll speak to you every time you come to church. Amen. Amen. He'll speak to you. The Holy Spirit, he has a plan for you. He knows exactly what you need. He will move in your heart each and every single time you come to this house of worship, if you come with the right spirit. Amen. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. I'm preaching from my heart. Lord, again, Mexico. Let me tell you this. You're going to face battles. The same battles, multiple times, over and over again. The Bible says in Samuel, 1 Samuel 19:8, there was war again. David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. Amen. Way to go, David. Praise the Lord. A great victory. Slew them. Slaughtered them. They took tail and ran. But you want to know like what the Bible says? Very shortly after, the Philistines came up yet again, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Let me tell you this tonight. The devil is on the warpath. His henchmen, his dastardly demons are after you, and they'll never let up, and they will attack you again and again and again. You're going to have to fight battles again and again and again. And you're going to need God's wisdom. Again and again. You're going to need God's power. You're going to need God's strength again and again. And I'll just be honest, you're going to fail some of those battles. I don't know about you, but I can't tell you how many times in my family, in my marriage, I'll do or say something in the flesh. And as soon as I do it, or say it or whatever, I know it's like, man, why did I do that? I know better than that. I shouldn't be acting that way. And it makes me mad. Okay, Lord, it's me again. Okay, God, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have reacted that way. Lord, forgive me. Kids, I'm sorry again. Honey, I did it again. I'm sorry. And I used to say, I'll never do that again. You want to know what happens? I'll do it again. I'm like, what? Why? Oh, I feel like Paul, you know, this wretched, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I feel so low because I fail battles again and again. And I know it doesn't please the Lord. And I know it grieves my heavenly Father. The Bible says in Jeremiah 18:3-4, I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Amen. I'm glad that so many times I made a mess of things, he's put me back together again. And that's what our God does. Amen. Amen. He can take bad choices. And I know that they have consequences, but he can somehow get us back in a shape where we can still go forward and serve him. But remember the story of Samson when he messed up with Delilah and they cut his hair off and took him prisoner and took his eyes out. And the Bible says that howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. I'm glad his hair grew back. Amen. I'm glad every week my wife cuts my hair. Every 2 weeks she cuts my boy's hair. And she's got to do that because my hair keeps growing back again and again. I won't belabor that point because that might be a sensitive subject by some in here.
Amen.
Love you, brother. But the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth 7 times and yet riseth up again. Amen. Amen. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. I could go through some more scriptures here talking about Elijah. He got discouraged and he ran from the queen and out into the desert and he was laid down and discouraged and suicidal. And God came to him and very graciously came to him multiple times, as a matter of fact, just nudging him along. Son, get up, you can do it again. You get up. I'll take care of it. Just trust me. And he went on again. The Lord wants to, you say, maybe there's somebody here, you used to be more active in the things of God. And for whatever reason, you're not as faithful as you used to be. The Lord wants to use you again. I'm here tonight to say that I know the Lord is going to use us again down in Mexico. And I know that down in Mexico tonight, there are some people that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. One of the things that we found up here, and it makes sense because of the history of our country and our heritage, but it was we would go soul winning there in Nevada, and we would talk to people about the Lord, and it was just like, we've heard that before. We've heard it before. Thanks, but no thanks. Yeah, we've got our church, church of the good feelings, church of the flashing lights. No thank you, thanks, but no thanks. Why? Because they've heard it again and again. But I'll tell you tonight, there's some people in Mexico, precious, humble. There's no pretense. They're not just looking, living life to make an extra buck. They're living life to survive, frankly. Never even have a smidgen of what we've been able to enjoy up here, and they've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, much less heard it again. We want to go give them that opportunity. We want to go and reach Mexico. The Bible says in Ezekiel, and 17 times in the book of Ezekiel, it says this phrase, and I have a list of some of the places, but it says, the word again, the word of the Lord came to me. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. And praise God, in America, we have the Word of God, and it is very accessible, and they've got Bibles super cheap. You get them for free, and I mean, the Word of God is so easily accessed. But down in Mexico, do you understand that they don't, they may have a Catholic Bible somewhere in their home, but they don't read it. They don't know it. You ask them any kind of biblical question, doctrinal, theological question about eternity, about their soul, and they are clueless. And they give you the same answer that they've always heard. Well, if I'm a good enough person, If I do good works, if I do good deeds, I know that we're going to get to Mexico and we're going to take the Bible and we're going to take this precious gospel of Jesus Christ and we're going to share it again like we did the first time, and like we've always done as a family, as God has used us wherever He's taken us. Folks, so pray for us. I hope that this sermon has served to encourage you. Maybe you're not where you used to be. Maybe you've made a mistake or two this past week. You let your Father, Heavenly Father, down, and there's something you need to confess and get right. Say, I've already done that so many times. Do it again. And pray. You know, Brother Milton went home to be with the Lord recently. I thank God for his son. I know there's multiple children, but I know Brother Bruce personally, and I know the work that he is carrying on for his father, or because of his father. And I know the family history and the story of my wife's family and others. But somebody needs to keep going, to go back and fill the places and the shoes that are being left by these great pioneers that have gone. Oh, Brother Milton's already been there. Missionaries have already gone to Mexico. Brother Sloan, the Pattersons, Sonny Fritz, and others. The Garlicks. Millers, we've been there. Somebody needs to go again. And I'll just close with this. I'm so thankful that one of these days we're going to rise again. Because this ain't all there is, folks. We're going to, when this body passes away, if the Lord tarries, we're going to have a second resurrection. We're going to be in glory and we're going to spend forever and ever with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in glorious heaven. But again, that as I want to exalt in that exaltation, it reminds me of all of those people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Down there in Mexico, that are never going to have or experience that glorious second resurrection to glory, to heaven. Rather, they're going to face God as their judge, be condemned, and be cast into a lake of fire. And so tonight, thank God He's never failed us. He's always been there again and again. Thank God we're going to rise again. Thank God for His goodness. Amen. But pray that we'll be able to go and do what God's called us to do again. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank You for this great opportunity, Lord. We preached Your word, what You laid on our hearts. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts and lives of this dear congregation. You've gathered us here tonight for a purpose. I know our country's in turmoil. I know that things are in an upheaval. Lord, we just pray for wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray, Lord, seeing all the missionary letters and the board in the back and Lord, all that this church is doing for the cause of Christ here in this field, the mission field where You have them, is inspiring, Lord. But as we also know that the devil hates it, and he's attacking this good church and this good man of God, the pastor. Pastor Turner, So I pray for this church. I pray for our family, Lord, that you would help us to get to Mexico. Lord, as things have been delayed and, Lord, it's hard to get meetings, God, I pray that you would open the doors for our family so that we can get out there and even before we get there, but continue to serve you, Lord, in these, whatever it takes, a year, year and a half, 2 years, however long it may be, God. And then I pray as we go, no matter what happens, if we fail you, if times get tough, we have to call out to you for forgiveness and for mercy. Lord, we're thankful that you will forgive us and show grace and have compassion on us. They never fail again and again and again. Lord, have your will and way in the rest of the service tonight. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask Pastor to come and lead as he sees fit. Thank you for this opportunity.
I realize that as we're coming out of this, whatever it's been, this virus scare and everything that goes along with it, that I need God to do something again.
Amen.
I need Him to enter in and stir once again, as we read there from Psalm 85, verse 6, revive thy work amidst the years. Oh God, please revive us again. Revive us again. Of course, as we'd sing, I'm asking that we'd allow the Lord to simply speak to our hearts. You know, I was thinking this afternoon, I promised y'all I would see to it that the auditorium was sanitized between services. Went through the whole auditorium doing all that, spraying. And I got down here to the altar and I thought, well, Lord, nobody used this altar this morning. Maybe I don't even bother sanitizing it. I did, though. Want you to guarantee you, I sanitize it good. It's ready for use. As the Lord would direct. Not me. As God would work in our hearts. Please just obey the Lord. Brother John, you have a song for us.
I surrender all.
please pray for them as they just try to get things going again. You know, they were just, I guess, just beginning when all this stuff started with the virus, and so now trying to get things started up again. And so we're grateful. It's nice to have Nat and Ann Williams with us again this evening. They've been passing through and on their way to different places, and it's always a pleasure to have them with us as well. Amen. All right, Brother John, come.
Let's sing our chorus, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go."
Wherever